Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We are talking about the Temptation Island finale part one today. Don't have a whole lot of conclusions to give to you, but we'll do our best. I'm joined, as always, by the beautiful, the wonderful, the hospitable, amazing Maggie Morgan. Maggie, how are you?
I'm great. Wow, nobody really ever introduces me. I'm always doing the introducing, especially with Jacob. So this is very exciting. Thank you for all those kind words. I'm so excited to talk about this episode with our guest because I just know that they are going to have so much to say. I can't wait.
Yes, and I'm so glad we have a guest because, again, I feel like there's a lot to say about the season as a whole, but not that much about this specific episode. So I'm very glad that it's not just the two of us.
What a bust this episode was, right? We got one thing of content, basically.
I'm furious. This was false advertising, but we will bring in our guest without further ado. You know him from Big Brother 12. Matt Hoffman is here. Matt, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. Kirsten and Maggie, it's so nice to be here. Welcome to the island of the podcast island of yours.
Yes.
Are you a feather brain? Are you a fellow feather brain?
Feather brain. I love Temptation Island content, and it's so hard to find, especially like in the off season. I dig around a little bit, and so this podcast is really it just really makes my week.
Yeah,
so
I think we're the only. I think we're the only Temptation Island podcast.
No, there's. Yeah, there's one other. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, I didn't know there was a full podcast. The one I found was it was like a husband and wife, or maybe like a live-in couple. And they have some other podcasts. There's nothing to do with Temptation Island, but they like Temptation Island. So they hit up Mark Wahlberg on DMs and he replied and he comes on their show. And I listened to this whole thing and it's basically a Zoom call. And it was like relatively unprofessional. And Mark at one point was, they were asking about social media and what he thought and stuff. And he's like, oh, he's like, I wish I could stay away, but I always respond to everything and answer everything. So I just can't help it. So like, I feel he's very accessible. And like, he must've been in his living room or kitchen or some public area because his wife kind of kept popping on.
Incredible.
So maybe he's like ready to talk.
Yeah, maybe we should have Mark. I think we probably could get him. Matt, I also have exciting news that I think you are going to like that I was waiting until we were recording to tell you. But I've watched six episodes of season one of the new Temptation Island now, and I am all in. You were right. It's incredible television. So good. I'm probably going to finish it like tomorrow, like the whole
Kirsten,
season.
I'm so happy, and I can't wait for your journey to continue into season two, because the reunion is just so great. It, like, it has tiebacks to season one, and it's a whole like Tarantino storyline. You're going to love it,
yeah,
Kirsten. And you know what? Speaking of journeys, I hear, you know, again, big fan of the podcast, and you two have grown a lot this time around. I feel like
you've
loosened up, you know. At one point, Maggie uses the phrase maximum cheating, and you guys would have never done that. Cheating, well, and yeah, you're into it. You're into like the
the podcast of you and Brittany when you were on, and you were like, this is the reason that we watch Temptation Island. And I feel like that was when my mind was a bit shifted about what Temptation Island could be. And what's best about this season is that there's not like an abusive person on. I mean, like maybe Hanya, you know, like we'll talk about
that. It's like someone who we can debatably say might be an abuser, which is a step up from someone who is definitely a piece of shit who should probably be in jail.
Do you like this season better than last season, Matt?
I like it better than last, but still one and two are chart toppers for me.
Yeah,
I am enjoying this better. I like, you know, I feel this as a lighthead. A lot of cheating and started pretty quick. To me, that's like a really important part of Temptation Island. The Temptresses were not as good. I feel like they did not do their job as well. They got far too emotionally invested. However, the Tempters, like that fireman guy, should be on every season. They should just hire him out. He did his job. Precision. He steals the girl. And as soon as he has her, and then he just waits for the editors to do their thing and get the other guy to cheat on her. And then she's all in, and then he bails. And he's like, I've had enough. And now she has now lost her boyfriend. The whole thing's a mess. And he did like, that is like just precision tempting. And I wish they hired people.
Yeah, I agree completely. And also, I feel like he's so nondescript that they could just give him a different name every season. And they how often are they getting like a Temptation Island super fan like Iris who's going to recognize them, right? Like,
oh my God.
I feel like they could just have him every time.
Do you think they casted? How at what point did the production team go, oh my God, we just casted a Deke super fan. We got to get Deke back in here.
Because the first time I met her.
You think so right away? She just went on about him?
And she came in and they were like, oh, what do you know about Temptation Island? How did you get here? And she was like, oh, I'm a super fan and I follow the cast on social media. And they're like, who are your favorites from the show? And then she said Deke, and they were like, done.
Which, like, that is such a choice that this guy is your favorite guy who has ever been on Temptation Island. Like, what is happening? I don't know. I mean, I guess they're worse.
Look at her boyfriend, Maggie. Look at her boyfriend. Yeah. You think she has high standards? Good enough.
She's so bland. Yeah. There's always that one couple who just shouldn't have been on the show, I feel, and that's not this season.
Well, she always looks like her shoulders are like at her ears. Like, that's how uncomfortable she is. Like, she's always like in the position to be like push people, literally like physically push people away from her, it seems. Unless she's like partying, which very fun. You know, I maybe Iris, you know, you can be free like that in regular social settings. But she, I feel like she always talked about, like, well, Luke just gets jealous because I always go out and I'm so outgoing and I talk to people. And for the first, like, four or five episodes, I was like, where? What are you talking about?
I don't see it at all.
It literally, so ridiculous. So what do you think overall? So if I have a question for you, because you said that the first two were better, but if we get an epically like imploded final bonfire where Hanya proposes to Ash and it is just humiliating for him, will it move up in your ranks, do you think?
Well, okay. The thing about the double marriage is so, like, I love that twist and how that was so unexpected and insane. With the two guys growing down, we're getting rings, and Luke's just like, you know what? I'm going to get married too. Fuck it. And, and like, then to know that we're going to see this all in one episode, and just both of them are so, like, Hanya's is going to be great because, Ash is just so gone. Like, so gone.
Ash is
and
gone.
Then for Hanya's, like, if I just went out on the street and proposed to a stranger at this point, it's just clearly like that.
You might have a better chance if you propose to a stranger.
And then Luke's is funny because it's just so silly. I feel like the girl's going to be, I don't even know her name. She's so bland, but the girl's going to be like, for real? You want to get married? And they're like, I what do you think she'll even say? I feel like does she just say yes because she's bored and has nothing else going on? But I don't know that they're like really going to get married.
I feel like her bonfire is going to be like very awkward because it's going to be all Iris saying, okay, but are you taking accountability for what you've done? And do you promise not to like text other girls again? And he's going to be like, why don't you recognize that I'm growing? And just tell her how you've grown. Show her.
Well, he will when he gets down on one knee.
I hope he just doesn't. I hope he's just like, no, we had our bonfire and I decided it wasn't a good idea.
I feel like Mark has a responsibility to say something to him and be like, you know, like, just like, you sure you really, like, you thought about this at all? Mark always does, he kind of imposes his wisdom and I feel like this is a good place for him to step in. He's just not doing it.
He loves Luke. He loves Luke.
This is the thing though. Last episode, Luke said that he and Iris talked about this, that like, if they make it through Temptation Island, the next step is to get married, which like, like, how long have they been together? Like 5 years.
No, they're long.
No, has it been that long?
I think so. Like 3 to 5 years.
Oh God, not.
And also, oh, and then back on the Hanya thing, the fact that they've only been dating like 1.5 years and it's this just chaotic is so fun. Like, them as a couple is great, and their destruction is also equally amazing. And the fact that Ash immediately lands this other just like weird, trippy, peyote loving dude that they're just gonna like ride off into the desert together, like, right as soon as they leave this island, it's like a perfect
straight to Burning Man just for the
perfect
two of them.
Kooky little couple. And Hanya's is just like blissfully out of it. And that therapist, I'm sorry I'm rambling, but what, no, why did you go on Temptation Island if your occupation as a therapist? There's no way. You're never going to get another client, and all the clients you have are going to be like, see you on TV and be like, oh my God, it invalidates everything I've been doing with you as long as I've known you.
I think we said that literally, like, if your therapist goes on Temptation, like, my therapist watches Temptation Island, and I'm like, ooh, I don't know.
You want to know that.
Okay, I want to say something about Iris and Luke, because I went to go look at their cast bio to see if it says how long they've been together, and it doesn't actually say, it just says they've been together so long. But the first line, which I don't remember if we ever talked about, says they met when she was dating one of his friends, but once she met him, she broke it off with his friend and has been with him ever since.
Well, no wonder Luke's insecure.
Yeah, right.
But also, I mean, no wonder she's insecure, because he's like bouncing around. I don't know. I can't stand this man.
I mean, and this is the thing. He's like the least offensive of the four. Like, we haven't even talked about, like, we all know Hanya's the worst, obviously.
Yes.
Like, Hanya literally came on a show. And no, I think Hanya's the worst for the simple fact of what he did to that photo of Ash. That can never be forgiven.
You're right. But LaSalle's is not far behind.
Oh, gosh. And we need to talk. I mean, should we get into them this episode? Like, should we? Because I do want to hear, like, all of your thoughts, Matt, about Hanya and Ash and Luke and Iris, because they're not really in this episode at all. So if you have anything else, like, thought-wise about Ash and Hanya, I just wanted to point out that Taylor, when he said goodbye to Ash, smushed her cheeks together with his black nail polish, smushed her cheeks in and pulled her in to kiss her, or pulled them in to kiss them. Sorry, apologies. But like, I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is so intense. Like, what is happening here?
Mickey, it was episode 3 where Ash is in confessional saying Taylor is so gentle, and they show him choking them against the wall. Okay,
oh,
they have very intense sexual chemistry, and I just hope they are continuing to have fun together. Like, I don't want them to be together, but I want them to have a physical relationship.
Lots of violent sexual energy this season on Temptation Island. We had Edgar and Marissa.
Oh, yeah. Violent.
Isn't that the word they use? Didn't you say violent?
That's what Jillian said. Yeah.
Violent.
I think my official take was it didn't really seem that violent. It seemed like everyone was just having a good time, but whatever.
Well, that also makes me, like I said, that makes me a little sad for Jillian that, you know, she's like, he never did that with me. And it's like, Jillian.
I don't think she said that he never did that. I think she said our first time wasn't like that.
Sure.
We don't know how that progressed. They've been together a long time.
Yeah. And to be fair, they got together when they were, what, like 18, 19 years old? So, you know, maybe there's been some growth in him since that time.
I think I should have gone on Temptation Island when I was in my, like, past relationship with the guy from when I was 17 to, like, 25. I think that it would have put an end to things so much sooner. Would have been more definitive. I just think it would have made sense for my journey.
You needed a journey. You didn't have a journey.
Yeah, it just didn't make sense.
You needed the counseling of Mark L. Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Yeah, who doesn't need a creepy uncle energy? Like, how he is to me, anyways. Okay. So, have we done everything with Ash and Hanya? Matt, do you have any other thoughts about that couple?
I don't. I'm very much looking forward to. I do not understand how Hanya thinks this is a good idea, but I'm really excited to see it all go down.
I really think his plan is to come in, get rejected and then he can play the victim and kind of try mm-hmm. to, you know, whitewash his bad behavior. But I really don't think he's going to come across that way, and it will not be good for him.
Oh, I think it's more like a Big Brother when like the person really thinks that it's like great idea and everyone at home is like, oh, no, 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 no. Like, it's so clear as day. And the only part is just that one. But I think that's what's happening. That's how I see it. And he's like really excited. You know, that was great. It's a great idea.
What did you think of the accent in the video that he sent Ash?
I don't get it, but I love it. They're so weird. They're so weird. I love them both. I mean, this season's full of people. I love even the people. The only one I really could do without both of them are the Luke's girl and then Ashley. The LaSalle's Ashley. They're too kind of nothing to me. And LaSalle's Ashley got very depressing at the end of this episode. I feel like it was like a real not what I was expecting to happen.
Oh, instead. Yeah. It was horrible.
But only thing I love Luke. I think he's like, you know, when you have like a kid who's real, like a little kid. Who even at their best, it's kind of like dumb what they're doing. Like they draw a picture and like to them, it's like so awesome. And they get so excited. Like, oh, look at this great thing. And you're like, yeah, it's very good. You know, and you know that like they're so far off the mark. And so I feel like Luke just gets like so excited for these small victories. And he's like so happy for himself. You know, and you're just like, and then us at home are like, really, really, man, you're like, not even.
It's like really good.
Yeah. Like the fact that you didn't sleep with a girl on Temptation Island.
Yeah, like, he's really like, yeah, I didn't sleep with anybody. Like, no, yeah,
he's like, look, we could have gone to therapy, but therapy doesn't have 12 single women, so this is better than that.
I mean,
what?
That's all I got on these people.
Okay, I need to know. This is the prediction. Who do you think Markel Wahlberg will have speak first out of Ash and Hanya? I feel like.
Oh, I think he's going
to have, I was about to say, I feel like he wants Hanya to speak first to get it out so that Ash then is like on their heels, like, what? Because while I was watching this episode, all I could think of was the Hanya Ash eventual conversation. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, what is Ash going to say in response? Because you're not allowed to talk. Like one person speaks and then the other person speaks and then you're allowed to talk for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. I was like, I feel like this cuts out all the like drama of the reveal, you know?
I think it's going to add more drama because I don't think Hanya will propose in that first little bit, right? Hanya's going to...
The rebuttal?
Yeah, exactly, right? So Hanya's going to have the opening statement and he is going to talk about, you know, how he really has realized he's in love and wants to be together and doesn't want an open relationship and will make it work. And then Ash is going to come in and they're going to, you know, with the rebuttal, thank you, Matt, mm-hmm. being like, here's all the reasons why you're a, like, fucking trash and I don't want to be with you. And then they get to talk to each other and it's going to be a lot of like back and forth, quick conversation. And Maya's going to need to take his ball and go home because it's not going to go well for him.
Do you think he's going to look sadder or less sad than he did in his magician cape from last week?
I think that he is going to look, you don't get much sadder than someone in a bathing suit and a cape, right? But like, he's gonna look sad, but I think there's also going to be like, just like absolute fury in his eyes that we'll get to see. I think he's gonna look so mad.
There's no way Ash has any, like, they'll be very confused, right? Like, they have no idea that Hanya would even think of proposing.
I think Hanya proposes, and then Ash says like, why do you always have to make everything a weird performance? No, I'm not marrying you.
It's going to be so great. It's exactly what's going to happen. It's still great. Even though you know it, it's still great.
It's one of those things where the anticipation is making it more exciting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Hardcore. Like, I cannot wait. That honestly, this whole episode, all I could think of was the eventual moment where Hanya proposed to Ash and Ash has to respond. Like, that's all that was on my mind. Watching the other two couples, which is like a bit sad, but we can get into the meat of this episode now, I guess. Should we start with Edgar and Jillian or should we start with everybody leaving each other? Because that was sort of like nothing, you know?
I think first we should take a short break and then jump into it. Okay, and we're back. Yeah, awesome. So everyone left again, but like,
Was any of it meaningful?
Well, I like how you get like everyone's final goodbyes, you know, to their people. And we got another example of great casting on the Temptress side from, I don't even know the chick's name, Luke's person. And she said something to the effect of like, you know, if it doesn't work out, you know, you should give me a call. And to me, if the proposal doesn't work out, you know, give me a call. Yeah. But it's like, that's so great. Like, she's still in it, I feel like.
And his person is the blonde one, right? Was it?
I don't even remember. I didn't know that.
No, it was.
Paige.
Paige, yes.
That's Paige. I like Paige shooting her shot of like, yeah, call.
Yeah.
If you get rejected proposing marriage, call me.
Exactly. And then my other favorite one is Jillian and the fireman, whose name I don't remember.
Yeah,
but
Tommy.
Like her sadness juxtaposed with his like, just anxiousness to get out there. He's like, I'm finally made it. Like, I'm done. I don't have to, like, deal with her wanting to be in a relationship with me anymore. And she, you know, it's so such a different, like, emotional state between the two. I thought it was so funny. And then you cut to, like, the Jillian confessional. And she's like, yeah, it just because of some logistical things, it won't work out. Or just not. He's not into you is the logistics of it.
I love crying just like, I normally get what I want. It's really hard that I'm not getting this because I feel like that's a level of honesty that a lot of people wouldn't really be able to give in that moment. Like, I think that, yes, she does then go to confessional and say it's logistical things, but I feel like being able to admit that you're mostly upset because you're not getting what you want is like very self-aware. I was impressed with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot of self-awareness happening with Jillian, like throughout this whole bonfire episode. I do want to jump into their final bonfire, if that's okay with you guys. I was shocked at how nice Jillian was to Edgar doing this. I was like, I thought she was literally going to breathe fire and burn him to a cinder in front of her. But she started off and she was like, I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for the time that we had together. And I do think that that just goes to show that like she genuinely really did love him at like whatever point. Because like if you do ever really, like if you have ever loved someone, like you want them to be happy and like you don't want them to hate you and you don't want to hate them because like that is very painful. But I like thought she really, I was waiting for her to give it to him and she didn't. It was sort of, I was a little bit bummed that she didn't give it back to him the way that I really wanted her to, you know?
Yeah, I feel like they showed so much of them for ultimately what was like, I mean, they argued back and forth a little bit, but was ultimately like a pretty mature conversation between two people
yes.
that like, used to really care about each other but are done with each other now.
Yeah, yes. I think like what I liked about just the whole thing of them is I think their whole arc played out in the very, like the editors did their job perfectly. Like it really was that thing where you talk about, you tell your friends about Temptation Island, like, oh, here's what they do. Where they show one couple cheating just a little and it kind of gets under the other one's skin who does a little more and a little more. And that's what happened. Like Jillian really was, you know, she said at the bonfire, I didn't sleep with this chick. And Edgar's like, what was the thing with the showers? And you see you in bed. And that's all the editors. So it gets in his head. So he's like, well, I'm going to bang this chick then. Fuck it. But he never should have done that because she didn't do it. But you don't know that. And the editors, it was the perfect, that Temptation Island arc that we love, maximum cheating. It was effective. And then we got a nice, it wrapped it up at the end. And a nice little bow. They all went their separate ways. I think they were a good storyline.
Yes. I really liked during the final bonfire how like, Jillian really does have the moral high ground and is like, I never had sex with him. We didn't have sex in the shower. Like, I didn't break our rules. And then Edgar goes back to, well, what hurt me most was the promise ring. Shut up about the promise
ring.
I love
this. It's like Jonas Brothers shit. This fucking ring. You won't get out of the ring.
Well, I don't think it was a purity ring.
The promise ring. Whatever this shit is. What is it? A promise ring.
The promise ring he bought her after he cheated on her. It's the ring he bought her as a, I'm sorry for cheating on you in college.
I'm sorry I cheated on you. This ring symbolizes that one day I will get you an engagement ring.
What?
And then, yeah. And that's the thing that, like, that's what's the most annoying and, like, so just, like, ugh, is that he was like, yeah, well, you hurt me more than sleeping with someone. And she was like, well, I'm sorry that that hurt you, but that doesn't mean that that's true at all, what you just said. Like, he's just twisting it around in his head to be like, well, no, I only did it because you did it. You did it. And she's like, I did not do anything wrong.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is I feel like ever since him and Marissa had sex, he like really got his confidence and like really thinks that he is like the hottest shit. And I just like, he's like attractive in the way that like a mannequin is attractive. Like to me, I don't understand like as a person why like someone would be like attracted to him, you know? Like, so I'm just like, really, this guy? Like, Maggie, how tall is he? Is he 5'7"?
Yeah, he's probably about like 5'7", 5'8".
Yeah. All Edgar knows how to do is be 5'7" and lie, like most men. And I just don't understand. Like, to me, I do not see the appeal of Edgar.
Kirsten, you write poetry too. Don't forget
about that. Oh, you're right. He did write a poem.
My problem with Edgar is that he's corny. Like, he's so corny that I literally, he would say 4 words to me and I would be like, you are so corny. Like, get out of my face. Like, the thing is, you're like not talking to me. You're talking to every girl here. Like, you replace me with anybody else. Like, he, I'm sure, recycles the exact same lines. And that was what pissed Jillian off. She was like, well, he said the same thing to me. And it's like, yeah, because he's a cornball who only knows how to do one thing, which is be 5'7" and lie.
Yeah. Exactly. So. and it's not me being like, oh, Edgar's repulsive or anything like that. Like, yes. I want to be very clear. Mm-hmm. To me, he's a Ken doll, basically.
What do y'all think about the request for the forehead kiss before they left?
That was so weird.
Right?
Why? What? Like, why are you, like, what? I feel like it's also such a thing where you'll see TikToks of, like, girls who've been, like, dating guys who are just total fuckboys, and they're like, oh, but if he didn't want to be with me, why was he giving me forehead kisses? And then they're broken up, leaving separately. And he's like, can I kiss you on the forehead? And Jillian's just, no, it was perfect. Like, that is the response. Like, what?
Well, and I think that I think that the thing is about the forehead kiss is that Edgar saw the opening, right? He asked if he could hold Jillian's hand and she was like, sure. So he was holding her hand and then she was like, you can hug me if you want. And he was like, ah, and he gave her a hug. And then he was like, forehead kiss. And she was like, absolutely not. No.
Like, under no sir. I mean, at least he asked. I mean, so here's the thing. It would have been really creepy if he just kissed her on the forehead, like, without asking. But the asking also felt creepy to me.
Yeah.
You think Mark Wahlberg would have been allowed a forehead kiss if he was if he asked? Or only if she, like, no forehead kisses for anybody.
I think Tommy would have been allowed to give a forehead kiss. And that's about it.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one. But again, that just, like, goes back to Edgar being fucking corny. Like, a forehead kiss?
Yeah, totally. So weird.
I'm sorry. I'm arguing with you about the fact that you hurt me by having sex with someone else on national television and you're asking to give me a forehead kiss? Like, ugh, enough.
Hey, what happened to the promise ring? Did he get it back? Or what, did he get to pawn it?
I mean, I don't think it's worth, like, that much money that it would be... Yeah, he'll get 15 cents and if he comes
Marissa
back.
Does it get, like, bestowed to Marissa now in some way?
We need to talk about that.
I think Jillian threw the ring in the ocean.
I need to hear everybody's thoughts on the fact that he was like, okay, I'm leaving alone. And Jillian was like, I am also leaving alone. Goodbye. And then we get the long, sad walk of her sobbing on her own. Literally the sad confessional of her going to the car being like, I guess now I'm really alone. And then Edgar being like, psst, Mark, actually, can we bring Marissa out here really quick now that she's gone?
I mean, I guess he's not obligated to tell Jillian he's about to ask out another woman technically, but I think within the bounds of the show, he should be forced to say, want to meet the other girl because I think it's more drama.
Right? I mean, that was the question he was asked. He can't be up front.
They say he still can't be honest. He said, I'm leaving alone. And now I feel like, so next week we're getting the final, I mean, technically three bonfires, because they did not show us all of Ashley and LaSalle's, which I'm absolutely furious about right now. And then the reunion. And I feel like in the reunion, Jillian's going to be pissed and Marissa's going to be pissed. Because, like, I don't think Marissa and Edgar have just been dating since they got off Temptation Island. So it's going to be dramatic and messy, at least.
You don't think she moved to Indiana to be with him? I don't know.
I'm sorry. No offense to Indiana, but why would anybody move there?
Like, I lived on there purpose. For four beautiful years.
Yeah, but you were there for college. Like, I feel like it's more normal to move to somewhere kind of random for college.
Mm-hmm.
Versus like good as old a Muncie. Full adult.
Wanting to go to India.
Yeah. They have Pizza King. Don't knock that.
That means nothing to me.
it shouldn't, Kirsten. It shouldn't. Of course, I feel like the reunion is gonna be explosive because Jillian's gonna be like, literally, what the hell? Is that this was not humiliating enough? I had to find out that I left, sobbed, while you were like, hey, Marissa, let's go back to the hotel. Like, oh my gosh, that is a knife in the heart.
It's just so, like, because I think he is just still going to say, well, but you did that thing about the promise ring, and that hurt my feelings, so I can do whatever I want. And it's like, yeah, they're broken up, but it's still so, it's just so weird.
I mean, and the thing is that he said that, like, struck a chord with my mom was when Edgar was like, you shouldn't have even brought me here. Like, you should have broken up with me, you know, 9 months ago or whatever, when I cheated on you, if you didn't want to be with me. And she was like, you know what? You're right. I should have, but I didn't know. Like, I think that the thing is, like, this is their first real relationship. Like, when you are breaking up with, like, your first real relationship, you're of course going to be conflicted because you've never broken up with anybody before. And you're going to be like, this sucks. I don't want to feel like this. Let's not break up, even though you should. So, like, it's not surprising at all that she, you know, he cheated on her and, like, humiliated her. And she was like, okay, well, maybe, like, we can get through this. But then, you know, she just brought him on national television, and then he cheated on her and humiliated her again. So
I think it all ended well, though. I'm sorry if this, you have to edit this out. I don't know if you will. Did you know Edgar and Jillian at the time? Edgar actually cheated on Jillian, like, real time?
I did not. I was not in college. No, okay. I was not in college during that. Okay. I only have heard of it because they were on the show, and I know, like, but I was not in college.
Drama with the friends, you weren't, like, involved in all
no,
this stuff.
No, I was not there. I only know of it through the show. I was at school. Edgar did 5 years at school. So I was at school Edgar's first year, and then Jillian came to school the year after I graduated, but she's from New York. So she would always come to New York for the alumni events. So I, like, met her through that, and I would see her always at the alumni events because, like, look at her. She's absolutely gorgeous. Like, you can't miss her, you know? So we just talked then. And I also think maybe when she came to visit, I, like, showed her around, but don't quote me on that. She would probably be
amazing,
like, I don't think she did that.
Regardless, whatever the case.
Oh, when I found out they were on the show, I was like, I'm literally living in a simulation.
It's incredible.
Like, what? Yeah.
When every Big Brother Canada cast comes out and every single Canadian knows someone on the cast, and it's like small world. But this is even smaller.
Yeah, because also, like, it's Big Brother Canada, which is, like, a bigger, much, much, much
bigger
show.
Yeah, this is, like, no one watches Temptation Island.
We're the three fans right here. Evie. Us three and Evie Jagoda.
Us and Luke's girlfriend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Luke's girlfriend is definitely the biggest fan of all. Oh, Iris.
You know she must listen to this podcast, right? Searching out.
Well, I mean, I'm not blocked by her on Instagram, so I can't imagine that she does. But I mean, I guess, have I said anything mean about her? Like, Iris just seems like a normal girl to me.
Yeah, there's nothing to say, mean or nice.
Yeah, well, we've talked so much shit about her boyfriend. So if they are together and she hasn't blocked us, like, maybe they broke up. I don't know. Because we literally, since episode one, have talked so much shit about Luke.
You knew from the first moment you saw him that he was going to be trash. And you were right.
I did. Did you know, Matt? When you saw him, were you like, that's a guy who sucks?
No, I didn't. And I know, guys, I love Luke. He just seems such like so dopey to me. He just doesn't
well, you get like him.
I just, I love him. He's just so.
You like him for the entertainment.
Yeah,
like, would you like to be around him? Like, would you like him to be like a friend who is around your girlfriend? Yeah,
no.
Exactly. Like, no, but you like him on your TV screen. For I understand that.
I like when he gets proud of himself.
He gets so proud of himself. Truly. For like, again, I know that I keep harping on this week in and week out, but literally Luke will do the absolute bare minimum and be like, where are my compliments? Like, where is the praise?
And like, that's why like him going, I'm going to hear it too. It's like so Luke to do that. Like, yay. You know, like, it's just like a stupid little, like
yay, we're both big. We'll get married. Ha ha.
Yeah. I didn't see like that. Like, let's get married.
And like I said last week, if Luke and Iris, if Iris does say yes and Luke and Iris get married, he will always have the memory of going ring shopping with Hanya.
That is, and see, that's the thing is I almost hope that they don't get engaged simply for the fact that if they do work it out down the line, they don't have the Hanya association with the ring.
I want Luke and Iris to stay together and then Hanya like moves in as a third roommate and then it just like it becomes a reality. You just find him filming it. It's like a spinoff, a Temptation Island spinoff of some kind.
I feel like I never saw Luke and Hanya really talk other than like that one moment though.
Like, and they're like,
every conversation I saw Hanya have that was like on the bonfire clips where he was like bragging about cheating on Ash was with Edgar. Like, he was always talking to Edgar about his bad behavior. So
yeah, they were always kitty corner, like as far away from each other as they could sit.
Yeah. Honestly, that makes me like Luke a little bit more.
Avoiding
Hanya. Like, okay, maybe he does have some good judgment.
I just like can't, Matt. Like, I need you to get into Hanya's head. Being like, because you were on a show where you were recorded 24/7. Like, get into his head about when he was bragging about the fact that a girl he used to fuck texted him to try to hook up with Ash in the room with him while he was in quarantine. Like, can you please, like, maybe tell us, like, what did you think he forgot about the cameras? Like, what was happening there? Do you have any insight?
I think they liquor him up so much that they really probably do at some point.
Yeah.
It's all these producers, these editors, the production team on Temptation Island. They move mountains.
Top notch. Yeah.
The production team on Temptation Island are like explicitly bad people, but I'm really grateful for them. Oh God!
They will be suffered to eternal damnation, but here on this earth, they are providing us great joys.
Yes, exactly.
Should we talk about Ashley and the cells?
Oh, yes, we have to.
I think we could take another quick break before we do that. And we are back. Amazing. Matt, when LaSalle told Trace that he loves her, cannot live without her, and wants her to be his future wife, what was your reaction in the real time to that one?
That moment, as well as just several others, is like, I go, okay, this is the episode that Ashley is like, I'm done. I'm going to start cheating. And I keep waiting for her to do that. And it just kept like, oh, you know, it might be okay. He's just exploring his options. I'm like, what are you hearing? And then, like, finally she, like, kissed that weird, strange match that she had. so strange. And even then, it was like, he was like kissing your brother or something. It was just all weird. And she just never, the whole time, she's just kind of like, you know, like she sees something in him. I don't get it.
In this episode, when Ashley said goodbye to Blake, she has a confessional that no one has ever looked at her the way Blake does, which is like, I guess with respect or maybe liking her. And yet she still is all in on the South.
Oh my gosh. That was okay. Okay. All right. I have thoughts. Okay. And I started to type them out to Kirsten and then I voice memoed them to my mother because I have so many thoughts about that conversation between them. And Ashley, I think sort of what I was talking about with Jillian, right? Like they've been together 7 years. Ashley's what, like 25, 26. So they've probably been together since they were about 18. So this most likely is her first serious breakup as well. And like when you are going through your first serious breakup, like you have to listen to your head. Like you, your heart never wants you to break up and feel sad, you know? But like she was like, I want to listen to my heart. And he was like, I give you permission. I.e. break up with me. Like, i.e. I know what you're going to do, which is break up with me. And she's like, my heart is telling me I want to leave with you and work it out. And I was like, girl, oh my God, respect yourself. Like, you could not have tortured that information out of me. If being on national television and I saw my boyfriend tell another girl he wanted her to meet his mom, you could have not tortured the information out of me that I still wanted to be with him.
But and Maggie, what just, if that boyfriend cried over 15 times?
Oh, and also, God. Maggie, what if you were blackout drunk?
I mean, I really, like, it was sad. I was like, Ashley, come on. Like, oh my God, it was sad. It was tough. It was a tough one to watch.
Yeah, it's like No, please go ahead, Matt.
It was just like Lascelles was giving his spiel or whatever, and I felt like every sentence he said was just digging him deeper in this hole. And so the whole time, I'm like, oh my God, it's going to make it easier and easier for Ashley. I can't just say, oh, I cried 15 times. And at one point, he was like starting to talk about Trace. He's like, you might have seen Trace. Like, what the fuck? Of course you see Trace. It was like, I'm another BB reference. I felt like it was like Gina Marie's Final Two speech in Big Brother. Like, we're just like, this is going to fail. Like, it's the worst we've
just
seen.
Totally.
Just give Ashley the victory here. And he just digs himself in his hole. And then he gets her to feel guilty. It's just crazy.
Yeah. I was sad, obviously, at the end when Ashley says, I want to leave with you. But I was sad also the whole time.
That's the
because,
worst.
Like, we have, honestly, at no point during this season have we gotten a good view of, like, what Ashley and LaSalle's goal was coming on Temptation Island. We've, like, kind of heard that, like, maybe they're codependent. But in this episode, LaSalle's very firmly states, we came here to explore being independent of each other and, like, we really need independence. And I'm like, well, that hasn't really been explicitly stated up to this point, but sure, okay. And then he now has turned it all around on her where, well, he couldn't show emotions because he was so wrapped up in what she was feeling and it was all about her. And I'm like, I don't think it has been all about her.
Yeah, my mom wrote something I think that's very important that I would like to read to both of you.
Please do.
She said, Mary says, I think what we've been missing this whole time in their relationship is the fact that Lascelles has been twisting himself into a pretzel to fix it and keep her happy. He's doing it now with Trace. He flip-flops to whatever will make peace and happiness in the relationship. That's why he can't talk about his feelings. His feelings may cause a fight or strife, and he can't face that. I truly think he's going to implode because now he has to hurt one of them. Like, he wasn't expecting that Ashley was going to, like, want to be with him. And I think my mom is right that, like, he just is like this sounding board of, like, Ashley reflects what she wants to see onto him, and he's like a mirror showing her what she wants to see, but, like, doesn't actually know what he wants.
I think that is so smart. And yeah, and that's again why it's not Ashley's fault. Like, it's his fault that he does not advocate for himself or make his needs known in a relationship, and instead is willing to just do whatever it takes to keep the peace and not ever have a fight. That's not on Ashley, because if he's just always accommodating her, she has mm-hmm. no idea that he doesn't want to, like, because mm-hmm. he's never told her ever.
Yep.
What?
What do you think of Trace, Matt?
One of the worst temptresses we've seen, I feel like. Like, there were points earlier in the season where he wanted to, like, get closer to her, and she's like, no, no, no. You got to, like, work your shit out. But that's not what a temptress is supposed to do. That's what a girlfriend's supposed to do, like someone real, you know? So I don't like her for that reason. I think she's a fine, a perfectly nice person, like, but people, perfectly nice people aren't meant to be temptresses. She's not the show for her.
Is she a perfectly nice person? Because I think that she, like, played mm-hmm. LaSalle's very well.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if she is or isn't, but she's not a good temptress. I don't like, you know, I'm here for one reason.
Yeah, you're right. Not enough cheating. So, you're right.
Oh, man. I just...
Yeah, like, it's psychotic. That whole conversation was, like, really telling, just in, like, a subliminal level of, like, what probably the last 7 years has been like for them. Because in minutes, he had her, like, you know, going, oh, I'm sorry, I took advantage of you. Like, you took advantage of him? It's like, what's happening here? It was just... And the fact that he did that with such ease and she was so bought into it, it's like, well, this is not the first time this has gone on. You know, this is like just how they communicate all the time, probably.
And then they both just like sobbed for like 2 minutes and didn't say anything. And we had to watch them sob for 2 minutes. I really had a tough time with that. Like, I it's not good. People always say the most compelling thing to watch, like as an actor, is somebody trying not to cry. It's not just like someone crying. So like that, I was like, oh my God, we needed 20 seconds of this. We didn't need 2 full minutes of them just sobbing next to each other.
It was a lot of emotion, and it's just like they've been together for so long since they were mm-hmm. basically kids, and mm-hmm. it's just sad. Like, it didn't work out, and they both thought that was their future that they were picturing and wanted, and it didn't work out, and that sucks. It sucks to be in that situation where you think someone is like, oh, this is it, and then it's not, and I can't. And I guess I would relate more to LaSalle's in that situation, because when my long-term breakup happened, I was the one who initiated it and didn't want to be together anymore. But like, mm-hmm. it's still sad. It's still like you've lost, mm-hmm. like you've used a lot of your life and you.
So wait, you just broke up with him without even going on an island or anything? You just did it?
I just did it. I just said, we need crazy. To talk. And then was like, hey.
No journey or anything? You just kind of just did it? Cut the cord?
The only journey was, I guess, going apartment hunting to find a new place to live so that he couldn't, like, talk me out of breaking up with him because I had to leave.
Oh, my gosh.
You can end a relationship not on an island, in case anyone's wondering.
Right. Each their own, Kirsten. You do whatever you want. Not for me.
You missed the clout, Kirsten. You really missed the clout.
I mean, I would say I... have a relatively equal amount of clout from this podcast to going on Temptation Island. Like, you're not getting famous from this show.
Are you gonna have a cool nickname like Juicy, or are you just gonna go Kirsten?
Well, I wouldn't be. I guess if, like, the only nickname that anyone ever calls me is K-Mac, which is not really like K-Mac, sexy, it would work. But it could work. Mm-hmm.
Well, you could be a K, like, you could just be K-Babe. You know, you have the K-Babe, oh, but you could be the wrong. K-Babe. You know,
this is
hi, I'm K Babe.
That's the intro thing when you walk down the aisle. Or
oh, what would I say? I don't even know what I would say. Like, I truly don't. I assume that they would love that I'm a legal assistant and want me to say something like legal. Like, I object to your relationship.
I'm going to close the books on your relationship.
What would yours be, Matt?
I'm guilty of banging your boyfriend. Why would mine be?
I'm going to be on RHF context so fast, Matt.
Like, my name's Matt. I'm just here really for it to rejuvenate my relevancy. And if you guys want a couple of minutes,
no, you could be like, my name's Matt. My wife wasn't sick, but maybe I'll make her.
But I'll kill your relationship
with me.
I'll kill your relationship. I like to work.
You could be like, my effects aren't the only thing that's special about me.
Things just sound like a slow adult, I feel like. It doesn't work at all.
You could get some pity points, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, or something about the brigade. I'm going to bring a brigade to steal your girlfriend.
Oh, he's Jasmine. Like, what is he talking about?
I mean, like, were you around in 2011 or 2012? Well, like,
now people are calling that a parachute alliance, so they wouldn't even attribute it to Matt. Oh, my God. Oh,
that's great.
Was it last summer when someone suggested calling an alliance the brigade and had to be told that's been a thing before?
For real?
I'm pretty sure something along those lines happened recently, but like...
In a Canadian season?
I think it was in the U.S. one. Wow. But it might have been a different alliance name, and I'm just now confusing it with brigade because we're talking to Matt. Like, my brain is not so good. So I'm not sure, but I think that might have happened.
Sorry, Brittany got teased. We tempted you with Brittany Haynes, and then the journey ended, and she left the island.
Yeah, she got tempted by loving her family.
Yes.
Yeah, you were going to come to the island with Brittany, but you're leaving alone, Matt.
I still am very happy that I feel like if it's by somehow like you guys obtained Brittany Haynes' phone number, I'd never be invited back in this podcast.
So I'm
glad that I have her contact. And I feel it locks me in for season
stop
five.
It.
Season
stop
I think you it. Have a complex, and that's something you need to work. Maybe you should call Marco Wahlberg to work on that with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that he could really help you out with your personal growth.
But she says she's going to listen, and I'm sure she'll be back.
Well, we missed you, Brittany. Yeah. We'll see you in season five. Mm-hmm.
I can't believe it's season five. I know.
Right? They have season five in the can. That is, I think, a rumor that I heard from my connects that season five is in the can. Yeah.
I love to hear that. So you heard it here first. We're renewed for next year.
Everybody DM Rob. DM Rob. Make sure.
I think Rob is mad at me and Sasha right now for calling RHAP the daddy network of our pop culture podcast. Because he tweeted out asking people to stop giving us 5-star reviews, which I think is very hurtful.
Rob is the daddy network of the Temptation Island podcast too.
And
he's just going to have to understand it, you know?
I think he's just got to get on board. I think he needs to start selling shirts that say daddy network with the bell on it. And I think something would sell.
I think they would sell too. And I think that's why he will never, ever, ever do it.
It's fine. I'll make one for myself.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So Matt, do you have any overarching thoughts going into about the season overall? Anything to wrap up your time here?
Anything?
It was good. It was definitely my third favorite season, but they're all good. They're all really good. It was better than last season, I thought. I'm very excited. I kind of wish the reunion was separate. I love reunion shows. I don't know how they're going to cram this all in. And I feel like all of the previews we saw were reunion centric. So I wonder if they're just going to like burn through these bonfires, which kind of sucks. I don't know. We'll see how the pacing goes.
No, they're doing two episodes. They're doing finale part two and then another hour of the reunion. Good.
Okay. So it looked like a lot of fire on the reunion. So I'm way excited for that.
A podcasting note, we are going to next Thursday, we're going to be here with Puya's and Vakili, who my dad is very excited, Kirsten. I was on the phone with my mom and I was like, Puya's going to come on. And my dad chimed in for the background. I was like, Puya's going to be on the podcast. So we've got a fan of Puya and my father. He's going to be listening to that episode. Puya will be on for the finale part two. And then my mom will be on the next day. We're going to record separately with my mom the way we did last season to talk about the reunion and the show overall. So
it's going to be great. It's going to be phenomenal. Maggie, I want to tell you one thing about season one before we go, because I'm just like loving it so much. So I already told Maggie off pod that one of the contestants opening confessional is that their dad cheated on their mom and as a result was murdered by the husband of the woman he cheated with. And we have found out that the son of that man also has cheated on his girlfriend in the past, which I feel like if your dad gets murdered for cheating, you'd learn that lesson from someone else's mistake. But no, he's also a cheater. And I just wanted to see Maggie's face when I told him that.
This is like, it's the most chaotic thing in the entire world. Kirsten like just dumped it on me. Like, I was like, I can't wait. Well, also, we were talking about something else. Like, I was like, I can't wait to watch Love on the Spectrum US. Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to watch Love on the Spectrum US on Netflix. I'm so excited. And she just texted me, one of the contestants' father was murdered by the woman's husband he was having an affair with. And I was like, in Love on the Spectrum?
If you think
I want to affect them,
if you think I watch wholesome shows, Maggie, you're wrong.
Kirsten can 6 degrees of murder anybody. She just finds somehow that they're connected to murder.
Before we started the podcast, I want everybody to know because it was very funny. Before we started the podcast, Kirsten said that she now always associates Matt because with this murderer that's also named Matt Hoffman, because she listened to a podcast about it and they told me the story of what happened. Look it up. Matt Hoffman, the murderer. It was disturbing. It was not good.
Well,
Matt.
What's wild? I had listened to another podcast about that murder like 2 years ago where they just never said his name, I guess, because I didn't know. So I was listening to a different podcast about it, already mostly knowing the story. And then all of a sudden they're like, and then they arrested Matt Hoffman. And I was like, what? Like, is there like a glitch in the Matrix? I don't understand. Anyways, yeah, the Leaf guy, he's really messed up. So
no relation. Kirsten, I will say there's no reunion for season one, but season one has the best finale of all four that I've seen.
I'm
looking forward to you enjoying it.
I'm gonna watch it probably tomorrow while I'm working because awesome. I've already crushed six episodes and there's only I think six more left, so it should be there might only be five.
Don't tempt me, Kirsten. Now I feel like no, I've got to watch it.
Maggie,
too.
You should. I know that we've both talked about how we like want to watch the other seasons in the past, mm-hmm. but we just haven't done it. But now that I've started doing it, I'm like an evangelist for Temptation Island. I'm going to try and get everyone to watch it.
Season two is
Do they have the same theme song?
Yes.
Do they have the same theme song in every season?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. The worst.
Do we know how they pick? Oh, sorry. Do we know how they pick? So in the beginning theme song, it's like the slow-mo shots is obviously the pairs. And then there's always like some tempters, but they're always the same. And I wonder, like, I thought it was like a giveaway of who gets carried to the end because the fireman's in there. But then the guy's in there with who looks like Kendall from last season, but with long curly hair instead.
Yes. Yes, I know who you're talking about.
Do we know? Yeah, like, is there a...
I have no idea.
They probably just shoot B-roll of everyone. And they're like, they just like pick what is like,
do you think they know when they're editing? They must know when they're editing that together, like the outcomes, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I do think like the B-roll is so uncomfortable because like the one of the firemen coming out of the water, Tommy, he like it's making this weird like model face. He's like coming out of the water, and it's I'm like, oh my goodness, there's so much happening.
Matt, you can relate to this because you've had to film like B-roll and stuff for Big Brother. And like, I also have a very embarrassing footage from the Big Brother Canada production. And it's like, they'll just exhaust you for 4 hours telling you to like make a stank face or like whatever. And just like wait until you're so tired that you just do what they want. And then they get like the most embarrassing footage and release it to the internet with no context. So like, imagine how
That's
much
fair,
they're like, okay, Tommy, come out of the ocean again. Okay, now do it again. Now do it with a sexy look. Now do it, but look to the right. Now, like, they're like, you know that they have just like beaten these people down in that filming process to where they're
like
just
the bumpers, like the pre-commercial bumpers where you're like, whoever was just getting something controversial happening to them, you get that like glance that they're looking at. Yeah. Like, commercial. Yeah.
For sure. Matt, how happy are you that on your season of Big Brother, they didn't yet have the intro where like everybody does like the one thing? Yeah.
What would yours have been though, do you think?
I'm sure they would have had me do like some sort of devil horn rock and roll thing. I know they would have.
Because
they were trying to get me to do that. Yeah, they were trying to get me to do that for like the stuff, Kirsten, you were just talking about, like the stupid little commercial promo stuff. So I'm sure that's what it would have been. Would have been mortifying.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. That is a good point. See, and this is from, I'm the one here who has not been involved in reality television production. So you're right. I am being unfairly judgmental of Tommy and his coming out of the ocean phase.
Oh no, we can still judge it. I didn't say that.
We should always be judging.
Yeah. That's the number one rule on this feed.
Number one.
We got a 2-star review recently that was just like kind of mean spirited, and what it's like we're definitely gonna get that again. But you know what?
What did it say? I want to hear it. Do you remember what it was about?
Okay, let me find it. I will.
So who is it from? Was it from Mark or Jillian?
I feel like it would be Hanya.
It was just from like if it was someone. I don't know that they're a person we know based on the username, but the title said iconically mean and then 2 stars and then kind of mean spirited. But I won't be taking that feedback because it did not come with a 5-star review.
What show are we watching here? It's Temptation Island.
Well, whose
feelings are we protecting?
I mean, Matt, the person was mad that we're not cerebral enough about it.
Oh my goodness.
Like, I don't know. We can't make everybody happy, unfortunately. But it's fine.
You know, it's a tough job to be a feather brain.
It's not easy. If it was, everyone would do it.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Okay, so I think that's pretty much everything for Temptation Island. Matt, thank you so much for joining us. This was really fun.
So fun.
It was fun. I appreciate it.
What are you up to? What's going on? Where can people find you?
Well, always follow me on Twitter. Great fun. MH Moonves on Twitter. And you can book me on Cameo. It's great. It's like it's like this hour, except direct in your inbox for a low, low price. So go do that.
Okay. Amazing.
Fantastic. Thank you for being here. This is great.
Thank you. This was wonderful.
Thanks. Fun.
Maggie, if people want to see more from you, where can they find you?
Yes, they can find me on Instagram and TikTok at @MLMorgan_. I got rid of the Twitter, so I'm not there. But you can find me on both Instagram and TikTok. If you comment on TikToks of mine, I'll write back. Because I need the algorithm to move up. So yeah, that's the easiest place to reach me. What about you, Kirsten?
Well, you can find me too many places. You can find me over on Kowski Cast. That's Cow with a K, talking about Riverdale every week. And we did just get the good news that next season will be the last of Riverdale. So in approximately 1 year, that will no longer be my problem.
Amazing.
I also have a BoJack Horseman rewatch podcast over at BoJack Horse Pod. We are just getting to the second half of season 6, so almost done with BoJack. And also, Sasha Joseph and I are on Mess Magnets, talking about pop culture, celeb gossip, and trending topics every week. So you can definitely check me out there. And you can follow me on every platform at Kirsten Said What, including twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What. And we'll be back next week to talk about part 2 of the finale. And I guess also it'll be a double dose because we'll have the reunion as well. So we will see you then.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.